Chairman and the Honorable Mr. David Neal will conduct your hearing at this time, sir. He will be the lead.
Okay, sir.
Okay, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I can.
Okay. Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Yes. My name is Cecil Kincaid, and my number is 046261.
Thank you, sir. You're appointed for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to a parole hearing. I'm going to introduce the board members that have come up the hearing this morning. On the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Then we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. And all the way to the right is the Honorable Louis Tenonis. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead. So we're going to read some information today about your sentences, the offense that was involved, and as we go through it, if you hear something that doesn't sound correct, let me know. We'll talk about it, get it straightened out. And then once we go through some of the basic information, then we're going to talk to you, and we'll get to know you a little better, and we'll see how things stack up this morning. Okay, sir?
That would be my hope, sir.
All right, so you're currently 67 years old?
I'll be 68, yes, sir.
Okay. You're serving a life sentence for first degree murder, which began May 14, 1982. You expired a 10.5-year sentence for armed robbery, and it was for the same offense. You were found guilty by a jury, but it was reversed on appeal, and you were given a new trial, and you were convicted and sentenced to him on January 18, 1985. You became parole eligible on July 14, 2007. And you appeared before the board 14 times previously. 1987 looked like you escaped, and you were, I believe you were convicted and expired that also. So, during those 14 appearances in front of the board, you were granted parole on June 30th of 2009, but that was revoked on March 14th of 2013. Then on May 20th of 2014, you were granted home arrest. The home arrest was continued on May 19, 2015, but revoked on December 7, 2015. Then on August 10th, 2016, the home arrest was again granted. But on December 28, 2017, the home arrest was revoked one more time. You were certified for this hearing for regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge on January 11, 2019. Going to ask you, we're going to go over those revocations in a few minutes, sir. But number one, it seems that the offense that was involved with, and April 1st of 1982, you and an accomplice, Thomas Pearson, murdered Jacob Goldberg. Near the end of March of 1982, you lost approximately $10,000 in a poker game to the victim. You claim the debt was forgiven. Other evidence presented at trial indicated that an arrangement was made for the payment of $200 per week. Approximately 1 week later, on April 1st, 1982, you, Thomas Pearson, and the victim were riding in the victim's car with the victim driving and defending, and you were in the back seat. After a while, Pearson persuaded the victim to stop the car in a deserted area off Pinnacle Peak Road so he could vomit. And according to Pearson's testimony, after the victim had stopped the car, you shot him three times in the back of the head with a pistol. You pulled the victim out of the car and shot him in the head, stating, "So you like to gamble, huh, fucker?" From language, but that's a quote from the report. You and Mr. Pearson then left the body and returned to your parents' home to get a pickup truck. Thereafter, you returned where you had left the victim's body and loaded it into the truck. You drove further into the desert where you buried the victim and shot a grave. The next morning, you and Pearson drove to Texas in the victim's car. While in Texas, you arranged for one of your other friends to sell the victim's car for $5,000 before you returned to Arizona. You were subsequently arrested on May 14, 1982 in Oregon. At the first trial, you were found guilty of first-degree murder and armed robbery. That conviction was overturned due to an improper consolidation, and the case was remanded to the trial court. The second trial, another jury, found you guilty of first-degree murder and armed robbery. The second conviction was affirmed by the Arizona Supreme Court in 1985. That sound fairly correct, sir?
Well, there are a few issues that I have regretted that incident.
Okay, you're going to have to speak up, sir. I can't understand you.
I said there are a few issues there that are not correct, but in the factor, I have regretted that incident from the moment that it happened. I'm not a career criminal. It's the only time that I've ever had anything any type of felony in my life. I regret it now, and I will regret it for the rest of my life. That's why that I have done what I've done when I got out of prison. Able to continue to speak, or would you like to say something more before I start?
Okay, well, we're going to move more information, and I'm starting to get some feedback there. Okay, we're going to go into a little bit more detail in a few minutes then. So, since you've been incarcerated, I don't have any details on the 1987 escape, nor do I have any details on the revocation, so we'll cover that a little bit. You've had no discipline since 2013, which is very commendable. You've got some programming through DLC, but you're apparently enrolled in an AA degree program, which those certificates and classes don't always show up in the package of media. But it's very commendable that you've gone to the one of the colleges to get work on an AA program. And for criminal history, it looks like you have 1975 in Washington, you had a firearm violation. In 77 in Nevada, you were in trouble for sale of marijuana. 82 in Arizona, that was the murder. And then looking at the criminal history, and I have a question, but since 1987, it shows Georgia for an escape. Were you on, have you been moved out of state for your incarceration, or is that an error on the information I have?
And that's an error, sir. And also, I was never convicted of the escape. The judge dismissed those charges against me with prejudice against the state.
Okay, I couldn't understand anything you just said, sir.
Okay, that is a mistake. And in fact, the courts had dismissed the charges against me on escape with prejudice in the Florence city limits. The court that I had went to on the escape situation.
Okay.
That is wrong. I never escaped. No, I never, have been in jail or did time in Georgia.
Okay.
And the other issues that you brought up, sir, were dismissed in court. One of them was a hunting situation with the weapons. I had my license and everything. It was a long time ago.
Okay.
And the issue with the marijuana was from a roommate that was with me. I was not selling it. He was in possession of it, and they dismissed the charges against me as well.
Okay. Thank you, Officer. The information that we gave, there's different criminal history printouts that we get, and they're not always easy to read and interpret. So what I'd like to do before we move on with the rest of this is I want to talk to you about the parole and home arrest revocations. Normally in our packets we'll have information about those, and we don't have any, or I couldn't find any in my packets. So you got paroled in 2009, and then about 4 years later, 3.5 years later, you were violated and revoked. What caused that, or what happened that you were revoked on your parole?
Okay, sir. First, before I get to that point right there, I would like to explain to this board that for me, when this tragic event took place in my life, when I finished my sentence and did the things that were necessary that the state put upon me, when I got out, I had made the decision that I didn't want another person to go lose their life, to waste their life, or to cause victims to go through any more pain than what those that were involved with me. Instead of going out and getting a job for myself, I decided that I would utilize the things that I've learned, the things that I've seen in my life itself, to help others away from situations that would cause them to have victims of their own. I started a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which was almost an impossibility, only one out of 10,000 were ever able to make that happen. It costs $150,000 just for your attorney fees and your CPAs. I had no money at all. I was lucky enough, through my prayers, through the way I changed my life, that I was able to run into a CPA, one of the top in the nation. He heard me speaking at a public forum out there, which I had done in many different areas out there when trying to get this nonprofit going on for myself. He in turn put up his time, and he had attorneys that put up their time for me and donated their time to make this possible for me. When I was able to do that, I believe, because I've seen over 33 years that I have been incarcerated, that I would say probably more, that I will pick 95% of the people that come to prison. They're here because of why they committed their crime. They were either on drugs or out.
Okay, sir, let's get back to the question I asked you, okay? Why did you get revoked from your parole? You know, what did you do wrong that got revoked?
That's what I was leading up to, sir. For 3.5 years, me and Kim, my fiance, which I've been together for 10 years, we have run this program, helped hundreds of people, stopped literally hundreds of crimes from happening throughout the metropolitan area, or even the state. We have worked our way from a slumlord apartment up to a four-bedroom home in Goodyear. And I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I never used my GI Bill, so I had it adjusted that we got a lease option to buy this home. The woman that owned the home was a recruiting officer down in Phoenix. And she was supposed to turn around at the end of 6 months, give us some of the money back, and could be utilized for our down payment. Everything was working fine. Me and Kim had brought ourselves up from a place that was just unbelievable to live into, to a community service, four bedrooms, living room, the whole bit. I had voted years during that 3.5 years, no infractions, nothing at all. Kim and I were turned around and we gave her the $1,200 on the last payment that we had to make. And we were supposed to be taking over the home we already had the Veterans Administration that was going to put the loan up for us. Mr. Obama, President Obama at the time, had made a law that no one under, that's involved in the military could have their house foreclosed upon them while they were in the military.
Okay, sir. What did you do that caused your parole officer to violate you? What did you do? So far, you have not said a word about what caused you to be violated and revoked.
Yes, sir, and I apologize. I'm just trying to lead up to that, and I'll tell you right now. This woman, after we've done this, we got a knock on the door. And they told us that the lady had not made any mortgage payments for the past 2 years, that she had just gotten out, so they had to wait to foreclose upon the house. Me and Kim said, well, wait, we're buying this home. We put everything into it. And they said, we're sorry, sir, you're going to have to be out of here within 24 hours. Me and Kim had already spent the money that we had in that month and wouldn't have another check coming in for the next week. Now, I've seen my parole officer, and you got to understand this, that for the 3.5 years, if I wanted to go out to for a week, I didn't have to contact nobody or do anything. I just simply had to be there on the day that I was supposed to be there to meet with my parole officer. 3.5 years, he never made an unscheduled visit. The next morning, when we were told to leave, we had to leave our furniture and everything else because we didn't have but about $25. I took my phone and the laptop and things down to the pawn shop to be able to get me into a place to stay. What I should have done was phone my parole officer at that time, but I was ready to meet him the next week, and I figured that the best thing for me to do is to get a place and not be out on the street. Well, on this occasion, as my luck would have it, my parole officer had come by to tell me that he needed me to come in to see him instead of the visit at the home. When he seen the furniture and stuff out on the front, he asked where I was. Nobody knew where I was. He tried to phone me. Naturally, the phone rang, but it was in the pawn shop. He tried to get a hold of me for 3 or 4 days, and I didn't get the phone out until Friday.
Okay, sir.
We got the check, and he turned around and told me, Cecil, I didn't know where you were at. I had to violate you. I know
well,
now
sir,
you didn't run away. Yes, sir.
Okay. So you didn't make contact with your PO when you're supposed to, and he violated you over one lack of contact, or were you missing for a period of time?
No, he was doing that whole week when my phone was inside that we got.
Okay, so really, he couldn't find you for a week and he violated you. So when you got back in and you had a board hearing and the board revoked your parole, and all because you had the phone in the pawn shop and your PO couldn't contact you for a week.
Yes, and my PO came forward and told the board that it was no absconding, that it wasn't that big of a violation. Mrs. Donna still presumed that.
Okay, well, but you were still revoked. So the issue of why you revoked was something about you weren't reported in when you should have been reported in. Okay, so,
yes.
Well, we can't change that. You know, we can't change that. All right, so let's move on to the next one. You got a home arrest. The May of 2014, you were granted home arrest. It was, you came in for a hearing and it was continued. Then on December of 2015, what was the violation that got you revoked?
I had just finished with my 3 months in a halfway home because we lost the home and everything else we had. Kim had put everything that we had in storage. I had just gotten an apartment. The VA put up the money for me to get an apartment. Kim's mother would have just died, so she was moving back in with me. We got all of the boxes out of the storage unit. It was in the apartment. They did a home search that they do when you move into a new place. There's about 6 parole officers that come in. Kim was on medical marijuana. she had forgotten, and when she put this stuff in storage, she had put a little bag of marijuana that she had a prescription for and everything else inside of one of the boxes. While I was in the bathroom and she was doing her hair, she had went in her makeup case and found this. She had laid it down on the bed or on the floor. A knock came on the door. She went and answered. The officers come in. They found that little bag of marijuana. Kim said, "That is mine." They says, "Well, do you have your card to show us this?" They said, she says, "No, it's at my parents' house in Buckeye. I'm just moving my things in now." They UA'd me right on the spot. I had no idea it was even there. And then they told me because she didn't have her paperwork on her that they would have to violate me. I was placed under conditions, which I wanted to get into, to show this board what had taken place, that my fault, anybody else's fault, your fault, didn't make any difference, that if there's an infraction, I'm to be sent back to the board for the board to make this decision whether a violation took place. The parole officer turned around and said, "Well, I'm sorry, Cecil, she doesn't have her paperwork on her, it's here, we're going to test you right now." And I said, "That's not a problem, you go ahead and do so." They did so, I was completely clean, but they had to send me back because of my conditions that I was placed upon me, which I wanted to get into, and hopefully I'll be able to explain.
Okay, well, sir, okay, so, alright, so now we've got past why they violated you.
Yes, Kim.
But then you were, then there was a hearing and you were revoked. So I'm gonna,
yes.
I have to kind of like jump forward on that and say that the board revoked you because you couldn't produce evidence that was her marijuana and that she had a medical marijuana card, correct?
No, in fact, sir, she brought the card down to them and they released me. They released me.
But then why were you revoked?
She brought the card. I wasn't, they revoked me coming back into prison, but when I went before the hearing, once I was before the hearing, they turned around and released me.
Well, according to Ames, you were revoked on December 7th, 2015. All right, so apparently, if you were violating for that marijuana, that's what I'm saying, apparently there was something that upset the board and you were revoked on December. But then, the following year in August, you got home arrest again. But then about a year and a half after that, you were revoked. All right, so what got you revoked that you're currently incarcerated for? What was the violation that the board revoked you over that's causing you to be there in the Department of Corrections talking to us now? What were the violations?
The violation is because I had consumed some alcohol, sir. I took some NyQuil and a couple of shots of alcohol.
Okay. All right, so now we have that. So you were in and out on the lease a few times. The last time you were revoked was because you were consuming alcohol, correct?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, so now we can move on from that. We don't have any supporters here today for you. We also don't have anybody on the victim side. We do have a letter of opposition from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated January 15th, 2019. And they don't want you released. Okay, so now what we're going to do is, if you would, tell the board kind of what was going on in your life when this murder occurred, and what's changed about you over a period of time, especially what's changed since you were released and revoked three different times. What's changed to the point that you might convince at least me as one voting member of the board that it might be time to give you another chance at release?
Well, First of all, I would like to apologize. It's difficult for me to go over these things because there were reasons behind it. I was hoping that I would be able to explain, and I know that if this board is fair and impartial, that if they would have the patience to hear me out, that I could explain each event, and that you would find that under each event that I was brought back was because of conditions that were placed on me. Mr. White, I don't know if you were there at the time, but if you would be just patient enough with me to hear me out here, I could explain the whole thing, which might be able to give you what you just asked for, a reason that I should be...
So as far as your revocations, you had hearings, you had an opportunity to explain what happened, and the board determined that they needed to revoke you. So you were on home arrest, you were violated, as you said, for alcohol consumption, you went before the board, and they revoked your home arrest. Okay, so that was in December of 2017. Now, since then, you've been in front of the board of one or two times seeking parole, seeking release again. So I guess what I'm trying to figure out here is, is overall, is you, what's changed about you now? You had three chances, and three times you violated, three times you revoked, and now you're here again, you want out again. So I guess let's condense this a little bit, and let's talk about your release. Tell me what you've done since the last time you were revoked, what you've done that would make you a good candidate for return to the community, sir. What's different now than it was in the end of 2017? What have you done to rehabilitate yourself and that you could tell me as one voting member that would convince me I should give you another chance at release?
Yes, sir. What I've done is that I took the words of advice. I have taken every program available to me in here. I've got the CPO-3 that can verify that substance abuse. I've taken intelligent thinking. I've taken about five courses, and I just finished up with a six-month course of AA yesterday, or Monday, this last Monday. And he's here, and he could confirm this. Altogether, I have done every course that they had to put in here. I know, if you look back, over 3,000 UAs in here, I've never had an alcohol issue. I'm not a drinker. 500 UAs on the outside, never been an alcohol issue. Matter of fact, this is the first dirty UA I've had in 12 years. What brought that upon me is that I lost my last brother. There were six of us. I had been given a chance to have a job. And the only requirement was is that if I, he gave me the chance that when he called upon me because of the part time, that I would be there for him. And I promised him I would. The man went out on the limb. It was not easy to give a man my age, with my felony charge, with my health issues, any chance at all out there. But this man did. I received a phone call about 7 o'clock on that night, and I was told my last brother had passed away. Now, that's not to say that I don't have family support, because I got two sisters and family members out there. I've got children, grandchildren. I've got a number of organizations that simply give me support 100%. But this brother was a minister, and I come from a Christian family, and he was one of the closest to me. And you know how sometimes you get to where your mind just won't stop thinking, and you're trying to rest, but you just continually thinking, and you can't get to sleep? Well, I got a phone call at 9 o'clock from my boss asking me, can you be there. I had one of the guys got hurt in an accident. I definitely need you. You're going to be up there 5 o'clock in the morning. That's almost 10 o'clock at night. I had already taken my QEAs for the month, and it was 4 or 5 days, and it's no excuse. I'm just telling you the facts and what you to be truthful with you. I didn't expect an EUA for another 5 days. I weighed my options, and I couldn't get to sleep. I couldn't afford not to have the job, because the only other job that I was able to have while I was out there after I closed up the nonprofit was standing on the street corner for 8 hours in the heat or in the cold and rain with my health issues, because I was dedicated never to commit another crime. I ended up taking some NyQuil. When it didn't work, I turned around and took 2 shots of alcohol. I relaxed myself enough to where I was able to go to sleep. I got up, went to work the next morning. I completed a 10-hour day and got off, and I had a UA called unexpectedly. I went down, took my UA, because it should have been completely out of my system within 8 to 12 years, 12 hours after the substance was put in. At least that's what Google said. And I went down and took that. I did what I thought was the right thing, the wrong thing, for the right reasons. It was a mistake, and I guarantee you there will never, ever be a drop of alcohol past my lips again. As I said, I'm not a drinker at all. The only reason I took that was to be able to get a sleep where I could be there for the man that gave me a chance to be able to work.
Okay, let me ask you a question about that.
Certainly, sir.
Okay, you were on home rest, and one of the conditions of release was that you were not consuming any alcohol.
That's correct.
You had alcohol in your house?
No, sir, I got it from the next door neighbor.
You got it from where?
The next door neighbor.
Okay. All right. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. No questions. Okay, sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board is going into discussion to make a decision shortly. But before we do, we might need an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think the board might need to know to make a decision. We just ask that you don't repeat all the information we've already discussed. So is there anything else you'd like to tell the board, sir?
Yes, sir, there was a lot, but I would like to start out by the last 3 times that I was denied this last time from this board because they were concerned about the 3 times before that I was brought back. All 3 times I was brought back, the board released me. I was brought back because I had a doctor's prescription. I was allowed the doctor's prescription. A letter was sent to the board. The board agreed with me and released me. The other time, when I got out, I have 4 stages of cirrhosis. I have 3 stages of kidney disease. I have cancer. I have degenerative bone disease in my back, bulging disc, bone spurs, and a numerous amount of other things. I'm not here just fighting for my freedom. This another 6 months might be a point to where I'm not going to be able to get out to get the medical treatment that I need. In here, they have to be, policies is that I must be sentenced to 1.5 years before they can go through the committees to get the health requirements necessary for me to prolong my life. However, since I proceed the board every 6 months, I do not fit in that category. You had a gentleman here that was named Ray Nunez that had the same paralysis I did. He was violated for 3 minutes, being late. You allowed him to go, but while he was in here, he had just safety. I had the 4 stage of insurances because I couldn't give him any medical treatment. Ray died 3 minutes
okay,
after
sir?
He got out.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
How about you tell us any information about you? And why we should release you, and without going over all the information we've done before.
Okay. I'll that I'm proving that I've been an asset to the community, to the city, to the county. I have helped hundreds of people get away from drugs and alcohol. I have prevented an untold amount of crimes from these people by getting them away from alcohol and drugs. I will continue to do so. I don't understand why Kim isn't here, but for the first time, Kim has got her disability now, and we will never have any problem with our money issues, which was always a problem. I have proven to the board that I am no threat to society. In fact, I became an asset to society. I had an organization that I ran hundreds of people through, that I have a high percentage rate, that they have never went back into drugs and alcohol. As I tried to say before, people in here are either here during the time they were on drugs or alcohol, or because they were trying to get drugs to feed their addictions. By me preventing those people from turning around and continuing their lifestyle to go in those directions, I literally have stopped home invasions, robberies, assaults, and possibly even killings. I want to continue that, and at the time that I was brought back in here, I was in the middle of discussion with my parole officers outside to verify, because they were the ones that had my itinerary that set forth that I met with a multimillionaire out there that was getting ready to back me up to start my programs back over again. You see, whenever this incident happened in my life, when a man lost his life, I lost mine too. And I wanted to do everything in my power to make sure that nobody else did, if I could do anything about it. So I take all the time that I've been out there to ensure that and help people to get away from drugs, away from things. And there's not that many people that can do what I do, because I understand these people. I know who they are. I've seen them in here. I've seen them outside. I know, like the word said, I've just taken up bed space in here. I would like a chance to prolong my life, to continue to help as many people as I can, and to prevent victims out there from going through the things at these people's commands and things that they are doing. 6 more months, a year, I might be dead. But that time that I just spent with stopping people from letting other people be victims out there, and I have proven this.
I think you're repeating yourself, sir.
I'm sorry, sir. I have four stages of stress. I can only put my brain, which causes me short-term memory loss. And sometimes I do repeat myself, and I apologize for that. I would love to go back out. I know for a fact that there will never be another drop of alcohol past my lips. And my whole past has proven, or should show, that this was an isolated incident. I didn't go out to drive in a car. I didn't go out partying. I did it simply for I could go to sleep to be able to hold on to the job that I had. It was a mistake. And that mistake, if you look back, I have taken every step for anything that has taken place in my life to make sure that those mistakes never ever would take place again. And I will do the same if you will give me the opportunity, sir. The truth is to you, this board will not end up regretting the situation of the law and me to go back on. I will not. And if I come back before you again,
sir, you're repeating yourself again. We have time management issues. We need to move along.
That's about all I can say, gentlemen. I wanted to be able to explain more to you, but and my sincerity of the situations.
Okay.
And
all right, well, thank you, sir.
I appreciate your time.
The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves and making a determination. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. We ask you to stay on the phone, remain silent, though, and you can hear the whole conversation, and once we have made a determination, I'll get back to you. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Board is now in discussion. Well, Mr. Kincaid is... It's interesting, the situation, but it's also kind of very unfortunate situation. He was able to convince the board to allow him some freedom to leave actually four times because he was violated once and the board agreed with him and put him back out on home arrest. But three times he was revoked. And I just don't, a little bit of alcohol, I just can't quite understand after that long of being incarcerated and the problems with the revocations and everything, they didn't even do that. But I just don't hear the convincing information about why he would be a good candidate for release at this time. And I, as one of the board member, I don't see him as a good candidate for release at this time. But I'm going to close the discussion from my fellow board member. No discussion. Okay, so this is all the information that we have here today and Mr. Kim Cade's testimony. I am making a motion to deny regular home arrest after discharge for Cecil Kincaid, PC number 046261. We don't have a mechanism for a 1-year set-off, so it'll be 6. So that would be my motion.
Second, agree.
Agree. Motion by myself, agreed by Mr. Simmons, or second by Mr. Simmons, agreed by outright Mr. Johnson. And the reasons would be there was a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim, community colleges. It was poor release plan and little family community support. Is there anything else that my fellow board members would like added to those reasons? No? Okay, Mr. Kim K, the board has voted to deny you whether pro home arrest or actual discharge at this time. And you heard the reasons. Correct? You heard what I gave for reasons?
Yes, sir. I heard that.
Okay. So you heard that.
I don't believe that.
So, sir, the discussion is over.
Prove it to you.
Sir, excuse me, Mr. Kincaid. The discussion is over. This will end your hearing, and please put the CO3 back on the phone.
Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Yeah, board members, I guess we'll just go ahead and take a lunch break, and why don't we come back at...
Hello?